Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:41 p.m. AM. That is Hong Kong summer time. Today is July 26th here. Of course, this is the audio for July 25th, and I apologize for the different timings and the rather erratic times at which I'm recording the audio. But that is at least in part due to the rather large time differences that I'm dealing with right now. And this was a pretty eventful day on just about all markets. Of course, this is also a news-laden week where we have the earnings for some major technology companies, with Google disappointing yesterday and down about 3% today. Then we have Facebook today, we have Amazon tomorrow, Apple next week. So that is contributing to the Nasdaq being pretty quiet. Then, of course, we have the Federal Reserve. A meeting today, announcement tomorrow. There's nobody expecting them to raise rates, but perhaps we may get some additional color on exactly what they're going to do with the money once they stop reinvesting it. And that's rather a large question. It is, and we've had a pretty big move in bonds. Then Saudi Arabia saying that they're going to move to support prices, and that has sent oil prices back up to $50. It's trading just above $50 right now, and also trading in the region of the trend mean, so that's a pretty impressive advance. When we look at that on the daily basis, we can see now that oil prices have both a higher reaction low and higher highs, and those are the conditions for an uptrend. When I read that Musings from the Oil Patch report last week, I was rather taken by the fact that so many oil executives were willing to make 5-year forecasts for what they thought about oil, but were unwilling to make short-term forecasts, and not least because prices have been so incredibly volatile, but also because they were fearful that prices may fall further. And the reality is that prices have been rallying for the last 6 weeks, and if they take out the $50 level, well, then prices will be trading back above the trend mean. Of course, they really do have to do more work than that to begin to question the downward bias for the year, and they would need to take out the $55 level. But in the meantime, I think that there is potential for some additional upside here. And that is despite the fact that we are in a choppy environment, and that it would probably take just one downward dynamic similar to what we had at the beginning of the month to question that hypothesis. But when we look elsewhere in the commodity complex, copper prices were up in a dynamic manner in here today. And that's seen copper now breaking out to new recovery highs. As I was saying in yesterday's comment of the day, copper has a much more consistent pattern than either gold or oil, that it had this massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend in December of last year. Then we get this really quite orderly consolidation and a very clear bounce from the region of the trend mean and a move to new recovery highs. That's a very impressive advance. It is a characteristic of a return to demand dominance. The fact that it has been so consistent suggests that there is a clear imbalance between supply and demand, and we can't simply forget that this is copper, and copper is an important industrial commodity in just about every country in the world. So the fact that it is recovering is not just a reflection of the fact that it had gone down by so much already, and that it had gone through that miners had gone through a massive process of rationalization, but also that demand is returning to dominance. This, as I said, this was a news-laden week so far. So the IMF saying that they anticipate Europe and Asia growth picking up quicker than either the UK or the USA is not to say that the UK or the USA are contracting, but rather that the rest of the world is beginning to play catch up, and that fits really quite well with the synchronized global economic expansion that we've been talking about in this service for much of the last 6 months. And Europe was pretty much up universally in positive territory in here today. The FTSE, for example, was up over 1% in early trading, but then paired that advance and was up about 0.75%. The Euro stocks has been coming down slower than it rose, and that's, I think, an important characteristic that the Euro stocks is the index that I think has been really out in the cold in terms of the big large cap indices globally, that it really has done very poorly, and it is really only beginning to play catch up. The fact that it is coming down more slowly than it went up suggests that the people who were buying have been a little slower to let out the inventory, that there are still people are buying on dips, and that's supportive of the view that this is nothing more than a consolidation following an impressive advance and having encountered resistance in the region of a previous peak, that this is just a mean reversion, and the fact that it is firming from the region of the trend mean is rather encouraging. When we look at the banking sector in Europe, I think it really does have to come with some caveats, because there aren't, for example, there isn't really any exposure for the German banking sector. Germany only has two listed banks these days, Deutsche and Commerzbank, and they are not the largest cap banks within this index. And I need to pull that down so you can see the chart. But this is a chart of French and Spanish and Italian banks, which in many respects represented the epicenter of risk in the European banking sector. But it has been trending higher for a year already, and that's within the context of a market which has been largely range bound since 2009. The fact that the European banks are doing better is rather encouraging. But of course, it's not just a European story. There is also the fact that the Asian region is doing better, that India and the Nifty index has been doing really very, very has been rallying rather impressively, and it is now in the region of that psychological 10,000 level. I wonder why. There we are. It's just taking some time. The Nifty index is now brushing the 10,000 level. It got right up to test it in here today, but wasn't quite able to hold it. It is due some pause and consolidation, and I suspect that it probably will get it, considering that it is about 10% overextended relative to the trend mean. Hasn't really paused to any discernible amount since it broke out earlier this year, and I think that the likelihood is that we're going to get some pause in consolidation, and that's likely to represent a buying opportunity. Something that has really caught my attention, at least, and I've only been here in China for 24 hours, has been that there are some really quite profound changes in terms of consumer behavior that I think are as at least as important as what's going on in the political arena. That the last time I was here was 2 years ago. Guangzhou is certainly my favorite Chinese city. But back then there was practically no. Maybe it's best to compare it with the U.S., where you've got a very well-developed delivery system for food and for takeaway meals. That was practically non-existent here a couple of years ago. Now you see delivery people everywhere. And it's practically every restaurant. Whereas, for example, Yelp or is only beginning to get their delivery network up now. The Grubhub is very similar in the U.S., but these are fledgling and operations, and they are trying to penetrate a market, whereas it seems to be have gone from nothing to highly developed within China in practically overnight. Then I think there's also this. What is also quite clear is that the last time I was here, you had this massive dependence on cash, and that just seems to have evaporated. Most people now are using their mobile phones to pay, and they're doing it through WeChat, and that's also supportive of the fact that the technology sector has been among the best performing of all Chinese related investments. So Baidu was breaking out yesterday on news that the Chinese government is investing in artificial intelligence, but Alibaba has been rallying just about all year, and there isn't any real sign that that is over either. And of course, these are things that are happening in, you know, in the broad spectrum of the evolution of the consumer economy. And that's an important thing that China needs, that China has the infrastructure, what they can gain from building new infrastructure, rather than investing in human capital, that has been an argument for investing in human capital for really quite some time already. The fact that they have been able to evolve this consumer economy so very rapidly is certainly a testament to the administration. Against the political machinations that are going on now, that is an important consideration, that China is evolving, and evolving rather quickly, on an economic front. Whether it is evolving on a political front is another question entirely, and it remains to be seen which is more important. But what we are seeing is that Chinese markets are beginning to improve, and part of the reason for that is because of the politics, because they want to ensure the status quo, and they certainly don't want to have any kind of embarrassing events like the kind of volatility that we had following that very euphoric period in 2015. So the likelihood is that this is going to be quite a bullish period for the Chinese equity markets. And I think today it's also worth taking a look at the bond markets. US 10-year Treasury yields were up in here today. And I think part of the reason for that is because the Fed is meeting today. We'll have an announcement tomorrow. But the broader picture is that there's uncertainty, that nobody knows exactly what the Fed has got planned. And they've certainly said that they want to go slow with reducing the size of their balance sheet. Quite what they're going to do with the money that they've now been reinvesting, and if they stop reinvesting that cash, what they're going to do with it is still open to question. Then they're looking at labor productivity, they're looking at labor force participation, and they're betting that labor force participation improving is keeping a lid on wages, and that is a transitory effect. And that is why they are thinking about raising rates additionally. But it's rather questionable whether they can raise rates and reduce the size of the balance sheet at the same time. That would seem to, at least to me, to be really quite foolhardy, and could represent an area of really quite profound uncertainty for the bond markets. But if we look at the 10-year chart of the 10-year of the 10-year chart of the 10-year bond, then we can see that it has been range bound for 5 years already, and it's pretty much in the middle of the range, and that there are levels within levels. And the clear because it has been such an inconsistent, volatile, rangy environment with trough to peak swings of over 100% already, then it's going to take a fairly substantial move to confirm that we are back in a supply-dominated environment for bonds that is not just short-term in nature, but rather that it is going to last into the lengthy medium term. And I think that is a very large question, and but in the very short term, it needs to at least take out the 2.4% level, and I think that would be the minimum required to really suggest that we're back in a supply-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.